You are worthy, God, for there is none like you, God. You are the only wise and true God, the risen Lord and Savior. We worship you today, Father God, because you are worthy to be worshipped. No other name deserves to be worshipped by the name of Jesus, the name that is risen above every name, the name that has been given that man shall be saved. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for that name this morning. We thank you for the name of Jesus. Other names have come and gone, but the name of Jesus lives forever. We thank you for your name, Jesus. We know, Lord, at the mention of your name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, Lord, we confess right now that you are Lord and Savior. Yes, we confess, Father God, that you are risen from the dead. We confess, Father God, that all power belongs to you, O God. Lord, we confess that you are risen, you are Lord, you are Savior. You are great and mighty to save. We thank you, Father God, for this day that you have given us, O God. And Lord, we choose to rejoice and be glad in this day because we know you are risen, O God. You are alive, Father God. And so we thank you as we celebrate your name today, Lord. We celebrate your resurrection, O God. We pray, Father God, that you just remind us, Father God, of what that means, O God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, because we know, Lord, that we have hope that our Jesus Christ is alive, that he's risen from the dead, O God. We thank you, Father God, that we can walk about, Father God, in pride, Father God, of what you did on the cross, O God. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, we can call you Abba Father now. We thank you, Father God, that we can come to you through the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you've made a way, Father God, where there was no way, O God. Now we can come to you, Lord, in worship, O God. We can call you Abba Father, O God. None of us, Father God, is limited, O God, with what they can do in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Father God, for what you have done in Jesus Christ. For you have given us all things that we can be, O Father God, in Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Father God, for that name, for the provision of salvation, for the provision of the cross, the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God. And so, God, we give you praise for today, O God, for what you have ordained to happen in this place, O God, today. We give you praise as we wait in anticipation, O God, for whatever you want to do in this place, Lord. We allow you to do it, O God, in your own special way. We give you praise, O God, for the souls that are in this place today. We give you praise, O God, for the souls that are out there in the world, O God. We give you praise for all souls, O God, that are seeking for the truth today, O God, that are looking for the truth, O God. We pray, Father God, that shall find it in Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, for just your word to be spoken, O God, in the pulpit today, O God. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be spoken, Father God. The power of the cross to be spoken, Father God. And no lies or deceit, Father God, be spoken from your pulpit, Father God. We give you praise, Lord Almighty, for Lord, your truth, O God, brings light, O God, and understanding, O God, to those that seek the truth. And so, God, we thank you that we're in this place where your truth is spoken, Father God. And so we pray, Father God, that our hearts and our minds and our spirit, Father God, shall yield to your word as it is spoken in this place. We give you praise, O God. May your name be glorified forevermore. Yes, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen.
For those that are able to stand, let us stand for our responsive scripture reading. This morning we will be reading responsively from the book of Psalms. Our responsive reading is found in your bulletin. We will be reading Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17. And I'll read the verses that are designated pastor. And I ask that each of you would read in unison the verses that are designated congregation. And we will read the altogether verses at the end. Amen?
Amen.
And the word of the Lord reads, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
And together, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Hallelujah. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is Lord. He has risen.
Yes, Lord.
He has risen,
yes,
from the dead.
Yes, Lord.
And he is Lord.
Yes, Lord.
He is Lord of lords,
yes,
and King of kings.
Yes.
He has risen. Did you hear me?
Yes,
he has risen. Death couldn't hold him.
Yes.
Death had no power over,
yes,
him. He has risen from the dead,
yes,
and he is Lord. Is he Lord of your life?
Yes.
Is he Lord of your,
yes,
life?
Lord Jesus.
Is he Lord of your life?
Yes.
Because if he's Lord of your life, there ought to be evidence that he's,
yes,
Lord of your life.
Yes.
He has risen from the dead,
yes,
and he is Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless his holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we exalt you today in,
yes,
this place.
Lord,
we thank you, God. We thank you for all that you have done for,
yes,
us. We thank you, Father, for loving us enough to go to the cross, to die on the cross, to shed your blood for the remission of our sins. And then to show that you are God, you rose with all power in your hand, taking the keys of hell and the grave. There's all power in your hands. There's no greater one than you. There's no greater one than you. And you told us that if we accept your son, that we could call you Father.
Yes, Lord.
We could call you Abba, Father, Daddy God.
Yes, Lord.
And there's nothing that you won't do for your children. You said if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how about your heavenly Father,
yes,
who owns everything,
yes,
who controls,
yes,
everything,
yes,
who has all power,
yes,
in his hands?
Yes, God.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that we are not lost out on the street,
yes,
out of our minds, God, not knowing which way to go, not knowing where's up and where's down, God. We thank you for the shelters that we have over our heads. You said that you are our provider and that you will provide every need, not every want, but every need. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today, God. We thank you today, God. We thank you today, God. We thank you for the remission of our sins, Lord. We thank you today, God. We bless your holy name. Father, we come to acknowledge you today, God. We call it the Resurrection Day, God. We call it Resurrection Day, God. In remembrance of the power that raised you from the dead, God. And gave you all power, put everything under your feet, God.
Yes, Lord.
And the best of all, you are our Father.
Yes, you are.
You're our Father. And so we acknowledge you today. We acknowledge you as our Father. We bless your holy name today, God. We give you reverence. We give you awe. We give you praise. We give you whatever it is that you want, God. We surrender all to you, my Lord. For you are worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Let our worship, God, go beyond any words that our natural mind can even comprehend. Let our lives live a life before man that would glorify you, God. For you did not leave us without power to do what you have asked us to do. You ask us to be the salt and the light.
Yes, Lord.
And then you gave us the power to do such. So, Father, help us to understand today. Straight from your word, God. Not my words, but your words. Help us to understand, God, our purpose and the plan that you have. And how you gave us the sufficiency in your Holy Spirit. The power of your Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that we can accomplish the purpose that you have called us. So, Father, I ask today that you would open the ears of your children to hear. The world can't receive you. They know you're not. But your children, you said, will hear your voice, and a strange voice they will not follow. So I'm praying that all your children are here today, God, and that they will hear what you have to say to us today. We bless your holy name, God. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise today. In Jesus' holy name. Bless the Lord. If you could stand with me if you're able, I will read our foundation scripture. It's found in Ephesians. Chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 16 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, reading verses 16 through 21. And I'm reading from the Holman Study Bible. It says, I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width, height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God.
Yeah.
Now unto him, who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Yes.
Now unto him Who's him?
Jesus.
Right. Now unto him who is able to do above, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works outside. That works in others. Power that works in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God. You may be seated. The title of the message is a question. The Bible says, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Imagine that. He is able to do above and beyond all you think it, he can go beyond that. All that we ask or think. Not what you ask, but even what you think. You know, we can have some wild imaginations. But he goes above and beyond that. According to the power that works in us. So the question he's asking today is, what power is working in you? What power works in you? In the New Testament, there are two principal words in the Greek for power. One is dunamis and one is exousia. The dunamis power is the power that's working in us. The exousia power is a power that's attributed to some of the acts of God, some of the power of the prince of the air and that sort of thing. I will remind you of that word when I come to that scripture. In Ephesians 1:18 through 21, I'm reading from the Amplified this verse, and I want you to understand that what I am reading, what I am saying, what I am doing today is what God ordained for this day. So if you are here, God ordained for you to be here, to hear what he wants you to hear today. Because we are living below. We're living below our standards. We're living below our power. The dunamis power works in us. It's not outside of us. It's in us. So we become, if we allow the Holy Spirit to operate the way that he was sent to operate in us, we become mechanical. We become little mechanical people. Because he now controls us. He tells us where to go, what to do, what to say, how to act. He transforms our nature into another person. And that person is the person of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit came directly from God. He is the essence of the mind of God. Holy Spirit came directly from God to us. Did he not say, I will send him? So he came directly from God to us. And he says he will lead you and guide you. First of all, he says he will do nothing unless I tell him. So then, and then he says he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So he is the essence of God's mind.
Yes, yes, yes.
That God has now placed in us. And he deals directly. How much more direct can you get if he's in you?
Right.
You know, there are a lot of other indirect influences.
Yes.
You know, Satan loves to indirectly try to influence us through little things and things that we listen to and hear and people say and whatever. Holy Spirit has power in us. He works in us. to directly affect our lives if we allow him to.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's not outside of us. We don't have to battle to get to him. He came to us because we accepted him. We said, you are welcome. The world cannot receive him because they don't want to receive him. But when you invite him in, he comes in and then he goes to work. He's the one who gave us the ability to be reborn, right? And then when we became reborn, because what did God say? You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are what? Born again. So the power to be born again came from the Holy Spirit. And then once we are born again, we become like babes. We become like babies.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then the Holy Spirit comes within us.
Yes, that's right.
To nurture us,
yes.
To teach us,
yes.
To guide us,
yes.
To grow us up,
yes.
In the fear and the admonition of the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
We cannot do that in our own natural selves.
That's right.
Cannot.
Right.
So our omniscient God knows that, and so he had to send the power for us to do what he wanted us to do, to become sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 1, 18 through 21 says, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power that works in us, in and for us. He works in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named above every name, every title that can be bestowed or conferred upon somebody, no matter what your title is, he's above that.
Amen.
Yes, 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 yes.
Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, he's above that.
Yes.
So it says above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. That's the word of God. Mm-hmm. And it says here that we believe it by faith. We believe it by faith. So there are two different powers working in this realm. One's evil and one's God. Mm-hmm. So Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, and you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You understand that?
Yes.
Once we were, I don't know about you, I won't say you, me. Once I was an habitual sinner. So I walked habitually in sin before I got saved and was born again. Says you were following the course and fashion of this world. Remember the two powers. I was following the course and fashion of this world. I was under the sway of the tendencies of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. That's exousias. The prince of the power of the air, this air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Two powers. That's the demonic power. I want to read this again. Because you have to determine what power is working in you.
Amen.
That's the question today, is it not? What power is working in you? I want you to really get that. What power? You determine what power is going to work in you. It says that the prince of the power of this air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit. Demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. We know sons and daughters, that includes everybody. That is the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. There's a purpose and a plan for all of our lives. If you're going against it, then ask yourself, what spirit is working in me? Then, 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, it says, for the story and the message of the cross is sheer absurdity and foolishness to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition. But to us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God. And if God has manifested anything in you, there ought to be some evidence. There ought to be some evidence. For the kingdom of God, this is 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. And if anybody wants the scriptures, because I'm moving on. If anybody wants the scriptures, you can get them afterwards. For the kingdom of God consists of and is based on not talk, but power. Moral power and excellence of soul. That's 1 Corinthians 4 and 20 in the Amplified. For the kingdom of God consists of and is based on not talk, but power.
Right.
Moral power and excellence of the soul. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 6, 13 and 14, it says, food is intended for the stomach, and the stomach for food. But God will finally end the functions of both and bring them to nothing. The body is not intended for sexual immorality, but is intended for the Lord. And the Lord is intended for the body to save, sanctify, and raise it again. Are you going to stay dead or are you going to be raised? And if you're raised, where are you going to be raised at? And God both raised the Lord to life and will also raise us up by his power, the power that is working. So you better be careful about what power is working in you. In John 16:33, Amplified, it says, I have told you these things. So that in me, and I want you to listen to this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power. I've deprived it from its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So he's done it. His power has overcome the world. That power operates. So don't tell me you can't overcome this world. Don't tell me that you desire, because I'm still in the natural body, there's some desires that I must have or that I can't control. No, lie. Mm-hmm. Liar, liar. That's not the truth. This is the truth. He said, "For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you." Mm-hmm. In John 14:29-31, this is, I believe, one of the most important things that the Lord wants to say to us today. John 14:29-31, Amplified, it says, "And now I have told you this before it occurs." This is when Jesus had told the disciples what was going to happen to him. He says, "Now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in and rely on me. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me." We'll read that again. John 14:30. "I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of the world is coming." He's coming. He's coming. "And he has no claim on me." That's powerful to be able to say. He has no claim on me. "And he has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know and be convinced that I love the Father and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise and let us go away from here." Understand this. Now listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13 through 15, for our visitors, we're word up here. Word of God, not my words, not a lot of philosophy, talk, but the word of God, because you can't refute the word of God. It is the word of truth. Yeah. Hebrews 2, 13 through 15 says, and again he says, "My trust and assured reliance and confident hope shall be fixed in him," him being Jesus. "And yet again, here I am, I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore these, his children, share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature." We know that Jesus became all man, but he was still all God. "That by going through death, he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had," say had, "the power of death," that is the devil. He had. Did you guys realize that? That he had the power of death. "And also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives." Now let me go back. Jesus proclaimed that Satan is coming. He's the prince and the power of this air. He's the God of this world. And he has power in this world. And if you don't belong to God, he has power of death over you. The Bible said that. So because he found nothing or had nothing in common with Jesus, and Jesus was without sin, he couldn't hold him in the grave. He defeated the grave, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? You have none. Why? Because the prince of the power of this air came to Jesus, our Savior, and found nothing common, nothing that belonged to him. So he can't lay claim on you and your life or anything about you unless he finds something that belongs to him. So he's coming. Beware. He's coming. Make sure he finds nothing that belongs to him. Nothing that's in common with him. Don't get on his territory. Don't open yourself up. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Give no place. Because he doesn't have the power. God has all power. The power that works in us. So he cannot take anything from us. We give it up. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Place means power, okay? Place means opportunity, power, or an occasion to act. If you work it out, y'all have heard me say that. Don't give him a place. Don't let him find anything in you, a place to stand up in your life. Don't give him any power. He can't take it. He can't take it from you. Don't give him any power. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, after he had risen with all power in his hands, he left and he said, but you shall receive power. Right? And listen to this. Power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's what he wants to keep you from being in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. But we must have faith in what God says. It says, for although they hold a form, they meaning some of the people who say that they're Christians, they hold a form of godliness. But they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. For the kingdom of God consists of and is based on not talk, but power, moral power, and excellence of the soul. So they have a form of godliness, but they are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct goes contrary to what their talk is. Amen? And I close with this scripture. Philippians 2, 12 through 14. Therefore, my dear ones, and you are dear, you are dear to me. I love you. You're dear to me. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and the fully complete and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Don't say, I got this. No. Let the power work in you that God sent to work in you. Self-distrust, and with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, in us, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Don't trust yourself. Not in your own strength, we cannot do it. We must become intimate friends with Holy Spirit. He's the power to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. He's the one that will afford us the power and the anointing to convert transgressors to the Lord. We cannot do it by ourselves. Faith by itself is destitute of power. Faith by itself is destitute, doesn't have any power if there's no evidence. Don't have faith in faith. Faith, action. Show me your faith and I'll show you my works. They go hand in hand. So faith by itself is destitute of power. Because if the power of God is working in you, there should be some evidence. Amen. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless you that you have given us the power to fulfill your purpose that you have called us to do. And Father, those who are struggling and struggling and struggling in their lives that may be watching this video, may be listening to this CD, those who are struggling to do it in their own power and in their own strength, all they need to do is surrender to you and your Lordship, Jesus Christ. And you will instantaneously come in, if you are invited, take up residence in and work through anyone that calls you Lord. So Father, we thank you for that opportunity. And you just have to say, Lord, come in to my life. I'm tired of the struggling and the frustration of this world. I want to surrender to you. I want to give you my life. I want to learn about you. I want you to teach me, Holy Spirit, who my Savior is. Teach me why I need a Savior. And help me understand his ways. Lead me and guide me into all truth, that I may have the eternal life, the gift that Jesus died on the cross to give us. For without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sins. And we must turn away from where we all walked at one time. But now we have been renewed and transformed by the power that works in us. And that power is the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And you can have it too. It's a new life. It's a peaceful life. It's a loving life. So ask him today
while it is today. In Jesus' name, we pray and give thanks. Amen.